Hello. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Can you? How are you all? How is everyone?
Yeah.
Good? It's weird. It's an intimate celebration, so you're like, you know, how is everyone? You want to answer individually, which doesn't work in a crowd setting.
Start on the back row.
I want to first apologize to anyone who hasn't seen us in person before and had a completely different visual thing going on. I know how disturbing that can be, so I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm usually quite jacked in people's minds.
Welcome to Your Inner Child as an Idiot. This is the podcast where we look back on things from our childhood and see if they were any good to begin with. My name's DJ.
And I am Damon.
We've already been introduced. You don't have to clap again. Don't do that.
That's true. Don't do it.
This is our 200th episode, recorded live in Nashville, Tennessee. Tonight we're talking about The Breakfast Club.
Nerds versus jocks. Do you have any thoughts, just in general, the conflict?
Oh, I'm staunchly jock, I think, is clear.
The ripped thing.
No, I've actually never seen this movie before.
Wow.
Oh, okay, let's all calm down.
Anybody else never seen it before?
Oh.
At all?
Okay. Thank you. This is my crowd over here. I feel like we're a little young for this movie. Like, we're a hair young for this movie.
Yeah.
It's, what, 85?
No.
Chelsea says no. Not 85? but I feel like our peers would have, like, inherited it from older siblings and watched
it. Gen X. It's more of a Gen X thing.
And my brother was having me watch Soap Dish and Thoroughly Modern Millie, so we didn't get around to Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Have you seen this movie before?
I have, in pieces. I don't know if I've seen the whole thing recently, all the way through.
It is one of those movies I feel like...
I do own a jean jacket, though.
So you're halfway there.
Yeah.
I feel like it was one of those movies that was just on basic cable constantly, and it was either The American President or Breakfast Club over and over and over again in the middle range of the cable channels. And every time I was like, nah, I'm not doing that. I will watch The American President over and over again, but I'm not doing it.
But that's it.
But I learned that separately. That was through a different venue.
So this dance that you definitely learned, was that before or after you had to learn the Newsies dance?
Oh, don't bring up my trauma about the Newsies dance.
It's too late. I did.
This seems easier. I feel like the dance you're talking about is a lot easier than the Newsies dance. I had to learn the dance to Seize the Day for my high school chorus class. It was talked about in a previous episode regarding the movie Newsies, but I never learned this dance. Miss McMahon never made me do that.
She's a pill.
You have not seen this movie? I forgot the actual answer to my question.
I don't know if I've ever seen the whole thing. Is the whole movie in detention?
Yeah.
Or is there
it's
before?
A bottle movie.
It's a bottle
It's
movie.
Like the Chinese restaurant episode of Seinfeld. They're all in detention.
So did they model it after Seinfeld, do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Pre-model?
Mm-hmm. Seinfeld got with them, and he's like, I got a great idea for my show that hasn't debuted yet, but I think you can use it for your movie you're filming right now.
That'd be great. So Judd Nelson, Emilio Estevez, they do it for you?
No, neither of them. Okay. They're very meaty-faced men. and Judd Nelson looks 30 in this movie.
Yeah.
And we have Ally Sheedy, I think. And Molly Ringwald.
Yes.
And other.
Anthony Michael Hall?
Yes, that's what I meant. No.
No, okay. All right. What about ER Anthony Michael Hall?
Wait, what? ER
era? ER era. Wasn't he in ER?
That doesn't sound right.
Anthony Edwards. Different guy. Whatever.
They share a name. They're probably family.
They're probably related.
What did the 1400? Was that one of him? Wasn't he in that? Dead Zone. That was a shitty show on TNT, wasn't it? He was in that. He was the journalist in one of those Batman movies. He's had a long and storied adult career.
Adult career?
Well, not adult
okay.
career.
Okay.
But as an adult.
Anybody have any specific memories from Breakfast Club?
Yes, you all love this movie so much.
Dandruff.
They just have dandruff?
Oh, gross. That's visceral. I don't care for that.
That's so upsetting. You know, I just realized the only other time we've done a live episode was our 100th episode in which we covered Short Circuit, also starring Ally Sheedy.
Well, next time we have to do War Games for our 300th episode.
Is she in that?
I believe so.
Okay.
Is she in that? Anyone? I've never seen that either.
You're just guessing.
just taking my shot.
She's in 300, right?
Yeah, she was King Leonidas. But she got really jacked again. That's the vocab word of this episode. She got really jacked for that. Grew a beard. Dandruff, I don't
like that.
I think objectively, this is the best Molly Ringwald has ever looked in this movie.
Okay.
Slouchy boots. Okay. I feel like you should be. Should I write this
the
down?
Look. For the recording, she said that this is the height of the Molly Ringwald fashion. This is
even better than the TV movie version of Stephen King's The Stand?
I believe so.
Okay.
All right. Wow. This character, like, she just, her hair is perfect.
She has imprinted on you.
The full mushroom, right? That's what we're going for, triangle situation.
Okay. That sounds like from experience, like standing in front of the mirror, just like, no
yeah,
way.
You,
isn't
did
this
you try
working?
To master the Molly Ringwald at some point?
Have you seen my hair?
I mean, just this once, I think. It looks great, by the way. You're doing great back there. Okay. You have anything else you want to say?
No, I'm gearing up for some high school trauma, though. I feel like I'm ready for that to trigger
me. Do you expect to kind of side with the nerds?
No, but I expect that I'll have like a BuzzFeed quiz in my head about which one I am.
I mean, I was obviously the Molly Ringwald of
and
my
I'm,
high school.
And I'm totally a Charlotte, so that's the short on that one.
All right, well, so we're gonna watch the movie together on this screen.
That's why we have it out.
Thanks for being here, everybody.
Thank you.
I should have come up with something.
Oh, this is my favorite part where you just spring something on me and I'm supposed to act really quick.
You know how there's the whole dichotomy of the haves and the have-nots in this movie, I haven't seen in like 20 years. You know, there's people that can give to their favorite podcast, and there's people that can't.
Solid. This is great.
And keep going. Hate the can'ts, and we love the... Wait, no, that's not right.
No.
Patreon.com/innerchildsandidiot. You can support the show. We have many patrons here. Thank you all very much for being here.
Thank you.
Patrons. You can be like them. Be cool, like Molly Ringwald and whoever else is.
And her effortless hair.
Yeah. That's it.
All right, we're done. Breakfast Club. Let's do this.
Hello, welcome back to the same seats you were just in. Normally, this is the part of the show where we'd recap the movie, and we're going to have to do a quick recap for the listeners at home. But, Damon, you want to handle that?
Oh, yeah, I love recapping things.
You're so good at it. That's what I love.
Five diverse students get detention, get Saturday detention, and for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, they learn a little bit about themselves.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
What I like about this movie, just to get right into it.
Please.
Is it feels like detention. You really feel the awkwardness.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of needle drops, as they say, but they chose their moments. John,
yeah,
old John.
There
chose
is a
his
lot
moments.
Of silence, and then music just comes and accosts you at certain points that startled me every time it started. I was like, oh, I forgot there was a soundtrack in this.
You like a music cue to be surprising, you know?
Like if someone's in a hallway and just starts running, then the music needs to hit.
Yeah.
Or if Emilio Estevez is just yelling in the foreign language studies wing of this magnificent library.
That's a pretty sweet library, I gotta say.
Built by Mussolini. A lot of people don't know that about Schirmer High School's library.
The fascists do good with libraries.
It's a brutalist library. It's gorgeous. And there's a huge art piece. How many of you had huge sculptures in your public library in the middle of it that could... Oh, I'm sorry. Actually,
just,
I was
just
making
Caleb.
A joke and then I realized I was
he's from Florida, so...
Doesn't count.
They really care about their public schools.
Thanks, Brett.
I feel like going plot point by plot point would be pointless here. I feel like we should go by person.
Yes,
plot
sure.
point. Mm-hmm. And there's part of me that wants to leave him until the end, but I feel like we have to discuss Judd Nelson, star of NBC's Suddenly Susan, first.
Do you?
Because he is ostensibly the main character in that he is constantly talking.
And sort of like you, of the
I
podcast.
I want to jettison him out of the library with a catapult. I feel like he's supposed to be like this bomb thrower. He's like throwing truth bombs at us, and I just want to murder him.
That's the, you're supposed to kind of align with one or multiple of the characters. I came down being like, you know, this principal wasn't so bad. He's like, these piece of shit kids. I'm like...
I was kind of on the janitor's side, but yeah.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Also, the janitor is the hottest one. Thank you.
Okay.
Hottest one.
I would like to say, just right up top, he's my nominee for the Sally Field Single Scene Award because the first scene he's in, I know he's in other scenes later, but first scene he's in where he's just like laying it to the kids.
Well, also, I mean, I do like that scene where, I mean, it's sort of parallel to the confessional scene of the students where he and Vernon have a moment. But can we talk about Judd Nelson? I mean, I feel like I've already said I hate him.
Oh, is that it? That was your whole character breakdown?
I mean, maybe. I mean, he drops a lot of...
truth bombs? Is it that you can't handle the truth?
Well, first off, I can never handle the truth. Yeah. I'm also very much a Brian. After having watched this, I am Anthony Michael Hall. I love rules. I love answering questions when I'm asked.
I hate shop class.
I hate shop class. I wouldn't make it that ceramic elephant. It would not work if I had made it. And the fact that Judd Nelson just is laying into everyone unprompted for no reason just makes me supremely uncomfortable.
Yeah.
As a Brian, deep down. Did you like him? I mean, I feel like the movie wants me to like Judd Nelson. And then
does
when
it?
I don't know, actually. I feel when I was dragged along at looking at Molly Ringwald's panties for a moment, and I was like, don't drag me into this movie.
Yeah.
If Judd Nelson is going to do it, I mean, that's on him, but the movie brought me into this moment where I was supposed
I
to be engaging,
this.
And I was like, this is all your choice, movie.
Neither you nor Claire chose that moment.
Correct. And he just seems like a slime ball.
Yeah. Yeah, but he
and I feel like the movie wants me to think he's cool.
But what about all those maudlin monologues?
Oh, my God. The Brian scene, the Brian family scene, where he's acting out Brian's family, and it just feels like regional theater.
It does. You know what I forget, though, because Judd Nelson looks like he's 46 in this, is that...
he does have a gray streak in his hair.
I think that's what it is. It really threw me. But he's supposed to be, like, 17 or something, right?
Right.
There's a lot of idiot 17 years old that were doing theater. So maybe he was. Maybe he just wanted to be in.
I also read up on this, and he's also a method actor. So that also knocks him down another.
Do you think, was he in Breakfast Club?
Yeah, John Hughes would never work with him again. He hated him because of the method acting.
So he was just being John Bender or whatever his name is, John Bender?
Bender is part of it.
Bender.
I don't know if it's
John Bender,
but it's definitely
right.
Bender. Do you have anything else to say about Bender before we move on to someone else?
I loved him in Futurama.
No, he's great.
That's it. He sucks. No.
Yeah, he absolutely... He does say neo-maxi-zoom dweeby, which I did write down.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good.
Which I actually would prefer to be called a gay slur than neo-maxi-zoom dweeby, because I'd have to break this down and look up each word individually.
That and, you know, pumps my nads are the two things that I'm going to be saying a lot.
About Molière, right?
Yes.
That he pumps his nads?
Yeah.
What about Andrew, the jock who no one understands? Not even his dad.
Not even his dad. So am
he taped Lester's butt.
That's what I was going to ask about.
His
so
dad,
as I understand it,
which seems loaded with gay undertones.
He glued someone's ass cheeks together for his dad.
Buns, please. Let's use the term buns. This movie that said fucking bitch all the time.
buns
is the term here.
So I know. But that is really funny.
It's
just choose buns.
I don't know if it's
things.
Intentionally funny, but it is funny.
His dad sounds like a real piece of work. I'm not gonna defend his dad, but
for the 30 seconds I saw him, he really seemed like a pill.
I don't know if you can pin this one on his dad.
I doubt his dad goes home and then coaches him on taping guys.
He picks him up. He's like, "Did you tape that kid's ass together or what, buns?" Maybe that's where he got buns. That does seem like a dad thing.
That does seem like a dad thing.
So he can't think for himself. I like that. I did like the moment where Ali Sheedy character was like, he can't think for himself. And he's like, I can't. I was like, oh, that's that's funny.
Yeah. I feel like their romance is a little contrived and a little bit shades of Grease. But they do have a few solid moments where she sort of sees right through him, and I do appreciate that. But his sob story about how it's his dad trying to get him a full scholarship on wrestling, despite him being a meathead, never really resonated with me.
Really?
No, for some reason, I didn't connect with it.
Now, we were talking about you getting shredded a lot in the
and
intro.
And bulking. In the wintertime, I might bulk, yeah.
Is your lunch very similar to his?
I did look at it and I said, that's a lot of sugar if you're really trying to shred. That seems like a lot of carbs.
Never going
to
make weight with that many carbs.
I do appreciate, I don't know how this was done. They didn't have CG at the time, but every time he was holding his sandwich, a big hunk would fall out of this.
Like that.
And I really appreciated that.
I did like that. I think, I'm trying to think of who I, of the children, who I empathize with the most. Because I do think, like, between...
It's okay if you say Claire.
It's not Claire.
Do I look like... Because she's a bitch.
Because I kind of look like Molly Ringwald.
Yeah. Well, you do have perfect hair.
You know, I got to say this. I agree with the Molly Ringwald hair. That is... But everybody's hair is kind of slamming in this. No? Who's lacking? Is it Judd?
Emilio Estevez's hair is kind of just a sort of helmet.
Hey.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Hey.
I came for you, and I I know that you have pictures that you take to your hairstylist, and like, this.
Give me the...
Mighty Ducks. Yeah. This is what I want.
Give me the Mighty Ducks. I want Emilio Estevez, age 38, please. From age 6 till now. Should we move on to who else
please.
We got left?
Well, we've got... Oh, we've only covered 2/5
Ali Sheedy.
Ali Sheedy.
Allison Reynolds.
Oh, thank you for getting her name, because I never actually...
I had to write those down, because I was like, I've never...
She is my favorite, and she would be my nominee for the Catherine O'Hara Memorial MVP
Award.
Would
she? Okay.
She is fantastic in this, and I feel like of the five... I think all five, actually, performances are really good, as much as I hate Judd Nelson as a person, his character as a person. Not Judd Nelson as a person.
Seems like he's been through a lot.
He has. But Ali Sheedy, I feel like, broke out of the trope mold and became, like, I feel like, close to a three-dimensional character. Mm. I found her very charming. I didn't like that they tried to Sandra Dee her at the end.
Yeah.
But everything
else
before that...
The romance didn't make a lot of sense.
Even the dandruff, I will allow.
No, absolutely
not. I mean,
it's
disgusting.
I have
the
to,
Captain Crunch sandwich?
I did like the Crunch sandwich. That was pretty funny. I have to retract my for Ali Sheedy because of the dandruff and also playing heart and soul with her feet. No, absolutely not.
I got confused during that because everyone started naming things they could do, and initially it was talking about things you could do with your feet.
And then he's like, I can make spaghetti.
And I was like, wait, what? Are we all doing things with our feet that I should be practicing?
No. Gross.
No, gross. Absolutely.
Certainly
it's
not making
the grossest
food.
Of the appendages.
Ugh.
Ali Sheedy is my favorite of the... Do you dispute me?
I mean...
Are you fighting me?
I feel like there's
a resistance.
Not in front of the audience. I just... I do like... she gets the most to do, I think. Honestly, my nominee is going to upset you, though, because it's Richard Vernon, because he was my favorite.
I will say, Vernon is really... Is he the principal, or is he just the teacher that pulled the shorts?
He said teaching, and I was confused, so I don't know.
He is really good. I think he's a really good villain as a high school teacher because he's ridiculous enough that you're not really scared of him. But he has a cruelty streak that seems very realistic to teachers I have encountered who really want to throw their weight around.
When he threatened Bender, this actually happened in my school in seventh grade, not to me. But I had a friend who was a little bit of a troublemaker.
Ne'er-do-well.
This teacher, whose name was Mr. Peters, I shit you not, would make us write essays, but he would literally just give us 500-word essays, and he would count the words, because you could see the little marker marks on each word, and so we would just see how far we could push it, and we would just say, like, in the country of Mexico, in the continent of North America, and, like, we'd just make it as long as possible to get 500 words, and he never said anything. So he just we would just make nonsense.
Did he coach a sport?
I don't think so.
Oh, that's surprising.
But he did, one time, he was real upset with my friend who was mouthing off. And
Sass mouth.
And he stopped him. We were, like, supposed to go, you know, you'd go, the whole class would go to the library. He, like, pulled him aside, closed the door, and was like, Will, do you want to go? And he was like, I'm sorry. 14 years old. This is a grown-ass man.
Not even the 17-year-old, 38-year-olds in this movie.
Threatening, and he was like, fight you? No. And he ended up getting suspended, and that was
the
it.
The teacher?
The teacher got suspended.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But it was the same thing where he's like, no one's going to believe you. And then they did believe him, so justice.
Oh, Jesus, that is haunting.
It is, yeah.
I mean, my teachers were just possibly drunk during class. They didn't actually try and fight us.
That's just charming.
That is funny.
And no one that's been drunk has ever been violent.
Do you want to talk about Brian, my
yes, the,
soulmate?
The Damon of the movie, yes.
First off, I would have no use for a fake ID aside from voting. So that I don't know how that system would work, but I that would be the only reason I'd want a fake ID. I was a very good child.
I just want to get into the bar so that I could DD my friends home.
Right, I just want to be safe.
Yeah.
Also, suicide is played as a joke in this movie.
Yeah.
Also, suicide with a flare gun.
Yeah.
Did he bring the gun just to scare people? Did he know it was a flare gun? I had so many questions watching that scene. I didn't understand why, if he knew it was a flare gun, why would he bring it to kill himself? And how, I feel like that seems like a much more horrific death than anything else, because you're on fire and you're illuminating to other drivers to stop. Why would you do that? And why would you go to school? Everyone else has to clean it up.
Plus, this search party is going to come after you. Like,
right, they're like, where is he? I found him.
Oh, there he is.
He's this big pink luminescent light in the middle of the street. I didn't understand. I thought that was a little ridiculous. I mean, that confessional scene, I feel like, teeters between ridiculousness and successful drama, but often teeters into the...
This is
ludicrous.
This one of the, especially that whole scene, but I think the movie at large is, it seems like this movie took place before editing existed. It was like, this doesn't have to be like this, everyone.
Well, John Hughes claimed that he had a 2.5-hour edit of this movie.
Oh, release the Hughes cut.
No, please God, no.
Start the revolution. Oh, God.
But yes, I would agree with you that aside from the confessional scenes and a few other, like, plot-bearing scenes, it does seem like you could shuffle a lot of this around and it wouldn't make any difference.
Yeah.
Mostly because when Ali Sheedy throws that olive loaf slice up on the statue, it was my Chekhov's olive loaf slice. I was waiting for it to play into the plot. I was like, where is it? And it fell. You could hear it fall. And then later, someone's walking around. I was waiting for Judd Nelson to slip on it. Nothing.
No. We wanted to make sure interchangeable parts. You could put this anywhere.
It's the Lego or the IKEA of movies. But yeah, it doesn't feel like it progresses a lot. It feels like almost the confessional scene is the only reason that not the only reason this movie exists, but I think it purposefully is the centerpiece of this movie. And I think I kind of side with Claire, if we want to get into her, that she is right, that they will not be friends after this. As I was watching,
I mean,
my little
kind of a
nerd
dick about
inside.
It. You could just lie.
She, why?
I feel like it's a good lie.
She wanted to be honest.
Why?
Always a great question.
To be cruel.
I guess.
That's like people are like, no, I'm dead honest. You're like, you just like to be mean.
Like Judd Nelson.
And everyone.
I don't know. I didn't take her honesty as mean. I think she was being factual about the fact that if Brian came up to her, I think she is well aware of the politics of high school, and she's not gonna. She's not going to pretend to be his friend for the next 2 years or whatever.
And the kind of
they
people that are her clique are probably, she's right about that. They're not going to be accepting. She'll be ostracized if she's all of a sudden a friend with Brian Johnson, a future lead singer for AC/DC.
Another thing I like about this movie is that I feel like no one is, like Vernon, she is not played as a bitch or anything, despite how many times Judd Nelson calls her that. Classic
negging technique.
It worked.
Yeah.
I feel like she has a lot more nuance than a popular princess type would in a typical high school movie.
I think that's what they were going for.
All right, moving on to the next person.
But the hair.
The hair is great, and I do appreciate that you brought possibly room temperature sushi to eat.
Her little bento box.
Her little bento, and she had the wooden tray and everything.
But that has been sitting there for a while.
Yeah, is it in her locker?
4 hours?
Then again, I ate a lot of Lunchables, and that meant eating room temperature ham.
Yeah, but that is
a stale cracker. It's made to be like that.
Yeah, that's been processed.
Oscar Mayer's like, put more salt in it just to keep it shelf stable. Who do we have left?
Well, we talked about the principal already, right?
We talked about hot Carl. Don't call hot Carl.
I just want everyone to know, because you were here experiencing watching this movie with us, I wrote long ass credits, but that's because we missed the voiceover because it wasn't coming through the speaker. So I'm just going to go ahead and scratch that one out.
We were watching it in the back, and I was like, oh, this is a long shot of the high school. Like, I got it, Shermer High School. Move it along.
I did somehow forget about Don't You Forget About Me.
How did you forget?
I don't know.
That's the only thing I would have known about this movie. Probably from a Family Guy joke, but still, I'm not ashamed to admit it.
I know.
That is what people think of this movie.
Yeah. there are three of us in this room who opened for Simple Minds. And we learned that you can sing that melody to all of their songs.
Oh, wow.
If you try hard enough.
That's a shame.
We're like, is this it? Oh, no, it's a different song, I guess. They're great. Treasures.
Were they nice?
We didn't get to meet them.
Oh. So. You didn't get to meet Simple Minds?
No, they're very busy.
They're
we were very unimportant.
They're chock-a-block with meeting fans.
Everybody's like, they're like, yeah, yes, got it. No, we don't know Molly Ringwald.
Does this where Eat My Shorts comes from?
I don't know. Was this the first
appearance? Like watching this, it was a little bit like watching The Godfather for me, because I felt like this is referenced in so many other things I've watched.
Yeah.
That when I went back and watched The Godfather, I was like, oh, that's what The Simpsons was doing. and this, Eat My Shorts, Simpsons, want me to turn it up. I didn't know that was from this? Is everyone like, that is awesome.
In 1985, you also did this with your middle finger.
You're going to keep the other fingers.
Need them as close to the top as possible.
Well, just in case Vernon comes in, you can quickly lock your other fingers upwards. Nothing. And he's like, I can't pin you on anything. Also, the David Bowie quote. I'm getting into my bulleted list.
What was that?
That's insane. Why was that? The quote from Changes at the beginning that explodes into shards of glass. Why?
Because they had just invented that transition. They were like, we gotta use this.
I just figured out how to put text on glass, and we're gonna blow it up, and you're gonna love it.
We do still have some items for the problematic corner. Would you like to go to the problematic corner?
Yes, I would. Let's go there now.
We have a special guest to help us get to the problematic corner.
Okay.
Jackson has an unhealthy obsession with Damon. Would you like to come to the stage, please? Take us to the problematic corner, boys.
Ooh, watch out now, y'all. Damon's got a problem, baby. Ooh, watch out now, y'all. Let him know about it.
Woo! Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Real quick, have either of y'all ever been to detention?
Yes. Not this 8-hour shit, though. I didn't know.
What did you go to detention for?
Yeah, it was like an hour after school.
That's not detention. Like Saturday detention.
They had Saturday 8-hour detention at your school?
Yeah.
What did you have to do? I mean, I guess a flare gun is, yeah. I got it once in kindergarten for literally throwing rocks at a flagpole.
They had detention in kindergarten?
Maybe that's why it was an hour. And then once in 10th grade for being late. Like several times.
That's what I got, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What did you do?
Don't worry about it.
I'd like to say I also got detention.
Oh!
Thank you.
For what?
Talking. And it was also morning detention. There was no Saturday nonsense.
Okay, show of hands. Who had 8-hour Saturday detention at your school?
Really?
Since I have a mic, I'm just going to chime in.
Yeah.
I also got it for being late 4 times, which I thought was...
8 hours?
hours
bullshit.
For being late?
And my Saturday school was walking around the school with a paint scraper scraping gum off the sidewalks the whole time.
Oh, I mean, that's God. A public service.
It was rough. And I was like, I did not hit anybody. I was just late. And my
late?
Parents
How
drove
late?
Me to school.
Yeah, I know. Like, it was your fault.
Punctuality is a virtue. How late?
Like, 10 minutes four times,
that's,
you know?
That's 40 minutes.
Out of a semester. That's like out of 500 hours or something.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm way younger than that, so. That's probably what it
I'm
is.
I'm just a baby.
I'm 26, so. That is excessive. That's insane. Also, we could study. That was like the point of it. They're like, be a better kid, study. And so I did.
You would have written the essay.
I'm Ben Johnson, or what's his name?
Brian
Johnson. I already forgot.
Or Ben Johnson, the writer.
Okay.
So problematic corner. I mean, it's all gay slurs, right?
I mean,
a lot of
it.
Panties, a 16-year-old girl's crotch that was visible for everyone and Judd Nelson.
Yeah, they also he threatens to close the door, and they all get the prom queen impregnated at the beginning. Really just setting you up to like this character immediately.
Yeah, he's a real charm bomb exploding at me. There is a zero tolerance here at Third Coast Comedy Club, so I won't use the word in question.
Mm.
But
the other F word.
There are a lot of, I'll say Bob Sagets in this movie. There's a lot of Bob Sagets thrown around for a movie that doesn't have literally any Bob Sagets in it.
That's true.
I was called Bob Saget a lot as a kid. Part of me wants to criticize the movie for using the word Bob Saget a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me also gives it credit because that word flowed like water in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
And almost became disassociated from any, you know, claims about your sexuality. It was just a filler word after a while. I remember I got called a gay Bob Saget once. And
is that like a negative, double negative?
Well, yeah, it was in my need to always correct someone. I said, do you mean as opposed to a straight Bob Saget? And the guy, and this is the best compliment a bully can give to a nerd, was said, shut up, man.
He punched you harder, but he was confused about it.
What did he mean?
I started,
part of me wants to like dock the movie on that, but I feel
it's
like
an accurate
that's
reflection.
Realistic.
Yeah,
it doesn't make me like anyone more, but it's accurate.
I did start a Bob Saget counter, but then I lost that. I forgot. So I don't know how many there are. There's
it's
more than two.
It is top heavy in Bob Saget's.
Yeah.
It's kind of wears down after a while.
They also talk about the different kinds of... There's some fat shaming, talking about the different kinds of fat.
God.
It's just kind of dumb. And they're also... I mean, just the whole bringing... Bringing the flare gun to school means something different than it did in 1985.
You know, yeah, having a gun at school is...
Right.
Is,
I mean, they give them to you when you go
into school.
I feel
like I heard someone gasp, possibly Adam, when someone mentioned that they brought a gun to school. And it is a different vibe, as the kids would say, than it was probably in 1985.
Yeah, having been born in 1998, I don't...
Yeah, of course, that's 26.
I don't know what you're talking about, but...
I think that math checks out.
That's all I've got for the corner. Is that all you got?
Yeah, I can get out of the corner.
Let's get out of the problematic corner, please.
There was also an R word.
Oh!
Oh, fuck! God!
Ooh, watch out now, y'all. Demons got a problem, baby. Ooh, watch out now, y'all. Let them know about it.
Woo!
Ooh, tasty.
Thank you
to special guest Jackson Epley.
Thank you, Jackson.
Jackson was really nervous about this, so thank you for doing that. Jackson, who has performed in front of millions of people. Yeah. okay. I like making my friends do things that make them uncomfortable. Damon.
Yes. Oh, God.
Unrelatedly. how often do you say, I'm going to kick your dick in the dirt?
In what context?
You tell me.
I have seen Saltburn, but that is a dick in the dirt. But it's not kicked. So that is a qualifier. I don't say it very often. It seems like a ridiculous thing to say to another human being at all. In fact, a lot of the dialogue in this movie
seems ludicrous. Brett, I believe that was our drummer Brett told me about a singer he played for. That was like the first thing she said was like, "Let's kick some dicks in the dirt, boy." Oh, yeah. I remember you saying that. Also, Caleb, our glorious band leader. Let's hear it for Caleb.
Thank you so much. And the fellas.
And the fellas.
Joel and Whit and Brett back here.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thank you guys.
Caleb wanted to make sure that I noted that $31,000, which Mr. Vernon said he made, is $88,000 in today's
dollars. Thank you, actually, for doing that.
It's not bad.
Because he seemed pretty proud.
You know, you're not going to, yeah. What?
He seemed pretty proud. He was like, yeah. I make $31,000.
You know, I say that to you all the time. I make. But 31.
And I feel very intimidated. And
31,000
like
ain't
punch
what
me.
It used to be. the dance scene that one of the things I would think of when I think of this movie makes so much more sense. I think on cable, maybe the weed smoking gets cut. Because I don't think I understood that context. I'm like, oh, okay, they're all high. This makes a lot more sense.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in 90s cable, yeah, they would cut that out immediately.
Yeah, so they were just dancing.
They would just be smiling at each other, and you'd be like, what happened?
Yeah.
They really charmed each other real quick.
I just went...
By moving to a different part of the library.
It's fun over there.
Why is the foreign language section full of smoke? It doesn't make any sense.
I just want to note, Whit, our wonderful steel player, noted that when he's running around and doing the fist pumping dance and breaking the glass with his operatic voice.
Punches the American flag, which I will not stand for.
He said, is there PCP in his weed?
It does feel, everything else felt fine, but when Emilio smoked weed, it felt like what my mom thinks happened to me. You scream so loudly you can break glass, and you just run around punching and start removing clothes like you're on Molly. It was insane.
This is the reefer madness model. You know, 85 weed, you know, was usually, you know, cut with other things, you know.
Yeah. It was a lot stronger than today's weed.
Yeah, I know this. It's the thing I know.
We hang out in opium dens. Can we talk about Ally Sheedy? This probably could have been in the problematic corner. Ally Sheedy's makeover, I've referenced it twice, but it's still...
upsetting.
Pisses me off.
Okay, why?
Because first off, she looks awesome beforehand.
Yeah.
And then she's sort of turned into Anna Paquin just suddenly at the end. And it really bothers me. She's just sort of a generic looking girl at the end. Okay. And then Amelia's like, yeah.
I mean, that checks out that he would and appreciate like, that more.
A hairband isn't going to cure dandruff, if that was a concern.
Well, maybe she got a brush out.
True.
Before the hairband.
Head
went
and
on.
Shoulders commercial. Yeah. Pantene Pro-V.
I always thought it was weird that it was like, you look so much better without all that black stuff on your eyes, and then she's like putting more black stuff on her eyes. Like, what? I don't know. I don't understand makeup.
Well, she had smoky eyes before, or some smudgy eye.
Yeah, no. Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I mean, I know.
I also was triggered by Claire. After they have this all, they all have this heart to heart, she makes Brian write the goddamn paper.
Yeah.
Which pisses me off.
And they go off to like fucking the paper janitor's closet.
I would have written the paper for everyone.
Of course.
I would have been tricked. Actually, that's the only reason. I would have done it and been angry about it.
Yeah.
And then on the way home, I'd be like talking to myself. And like, this is what I should have said.
Get my flare gun.
It seems shitty.
Yeah, it is shitty. Yeah, especially like they all got to know each other and they still like use him to do their homework.
Because Claire's right. They're not going to be friends.
Also, we all know Gleason's not accepting one paper at the end
he
of this.
He seems content when he's looking at it like from a distant shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. They really learned something.
Wow, I bet if I had been here, I would have learned something about them.
Why does this smell like marijuana in this library? All
it
of you marijuana smokers, let me just speak to you for 1 second. I don't really care about it. Legalize it. Let's do this. But...
Okay. What are you, running for Congress?
But every marijuana smoker that I grew up with thinks that weed doesn't smell. They're like, it doesn't smell. I'm like, it smells so much. And they're like, it goes away so fast. It does not. And you're all delusional. That's all I just want to say.
I remember my brother.
The room has turned on me, Damon. I should have stopped at legalizing.
Read the room. I remember my brother also telling me, like, you can't. It goes away so fast, no one can tell. And I'm like, yes, we can.
It's a very like 17-year-old thing to think that people have carried into adulthood. They're like,
it's like beer before liquor and weed smoke just disappears suddenly.
You can't even tell.
All right, I've got nothing else.
Yeah, I have some quotes. Let's see.
How many gay slurs do they include?
I mean, it's all gay slurs. Oh, should okay. I not say those
no,
out loud?
Don't. No, give us your quotes. Let's have them.
Well, I do think I'm going to start threatening people with the horns more often. It's pretty good. I don't think I'm going to say...
You don't even have to say it. You can just do that. Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to say Mole really pumps my nads, but it's pretty great.
Mole sauce.
Bernays really pumps my nads.
Hollandaise is nice, but Mole, no.
I don't like Hollandaise mixed with that. That's upsetting. when the janitor says, I am the eyes and ears of this institution, my friends. It's pretty good. Also, when Emilio says, I've seen her dehydrated, sir. It's pretty gross. Feel like we can all work that one in.
I have a question, a new question, lore question. are they dabbling in dating, or is that just something Judd Nelson invented?
I don't know.
Or is that something left up to the audience?
I don't know. Anybody?
They seem to have a thing at the beginning where he invites her to the party and he seems really aware that Judd Nelson is listening and blah, blah, blah.
They're obviously in the same like friend group.
Because they're both so handsome and popular.
Yeah. Yeah.
End of question. No need to answer.
All right. Okay. Also, that was marijuana. Do you approve of this? I feel like that one will work
Another
for me.
Quote that I would relate to Brian on.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir? I did like that. And speaking of, right after I say, do you approve of this, I'll say, yo, wastoid, you're not going to blaze up in here.
Also seems like something just my mom
I'm a fun
say.
Guy to have at parties. That's all I've got. Anybody else have anything they want to say? Please, in the back.
I think the reason he accepted just one paper was because he was wasted.
Oh, because he had been drinking with Carl, the hot janitor.
That's excellent. Excellent theory.
He also doesn't want to be there, I feel like, is also the undercurrent of this.
I'm not sure how much he cared about the actual paper, now that I think about it.
No, it's just something to give them. 500 words. 1,000 words?
Did you count them?
On Mr. one Peter sheet style? Of paper? I don't know why I'm holding it like I'm the mayor of Munchkin City, but on one sheet of paper.
Are you ready to go to the verdict?
Let's go to the verdict.
We're ready to go to the verdict.
I know you guys already said it, but I can't believe that kid got one day of detention for bringing a gun to school.
The 80s were wild,
just
man.
Another day at Shermer High School.
That went off. It's not like he just had it.
No, it went off.
Well, his parents knew he was suicidal, and they're like, yeah, just send him to detention.
It's fine. He'll be
that
fine in
fix
there.
Him. He's got He'll company. Probably meet other peers that he'll relate to and have, you know, a confessional moment with.
Maybe he knew about the weed. Just chill out. All right, let's go to the verdict, y'all. Damon, what is your verdict?
I don't know why I always fall for that. I'm very torn, Natalie Imbruglia style, on this movie. In that it feels very clunky at times, but when it does, well, when it tries to succeed, I feel like it does reach for something. Those confessional scenes with Vernon and Carl really got me this time.
When it does reach for something, it tries...
Don't examine it.
Okay.
I feel like that confessional scene has hits and misses. I really like Claire's speech because I feel like she is being honest about high school politics and all that. And she's called out for being a bitch. And Judd Nelson is being wildly unreasonable during that whole thing.
Yeah.
But it also like still works for me largely because they're kids. They're fucking idiots.
Yeah.
And so them sort of grasping at how life works... at least from my 26-year-old vantage point, it rings true to me. Like watching these, and I can imagine if I had seen this at the right time, I would have connected with it.
On Saturday on cable?
On Saturday on cable or, you know, in a theater in 1985. And I'm really teetering on the line. And I'm going to say your inner child is not an idiot, but just by a hair. There is a lot that is very clumsy and cringe. Again, as a 26-year-old, that's a term I use. But I think there are the parts that work really work for me, and then they make me forget the parts that are really awkward.
Yeah.
Like Emilio Estevez screaming and breaking the glass. What?
What?
I still can't get over it. Go ahead.
And who are your nominees?
Ally Sheedy is my Catherine O'Hara Award.
Okay.
She's fantastic. And what did you say for the... I think the Vernon Carl scene would be my Sally Field Best Scene Award.
Okay. You're giving that to both of them. Carl the Janitor was my Sally Field nominee.
For him dressing down the kids?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But... I also wanted Paul Gleason as Catherine O'Hara, so I'd give that to Ally Sheedy if we can do the scene.
That's what I just
little
said.
Little trade.
So,
okay.
Yeah. All right. We'll do what I just said. Great.
You give me your Mickey Mantle, and I'll give you... Okay. I feel like this is a good community theater play and a bad movie. Your inner child is an idiot. Like, some of the scenes were good, but it was all pretty maudlin and all pretty, like... it was acted. It was like acted with a capital A. And it was not fun for me to watch. I like to enjoy
watching
movie. Yeah. I found myself getting a little bored thinking about like, oh, I got to come up with stuff to talk about, which is not, it can either be bad enough that you've got an endless supply of things to talk about. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that bad, but it was just sort of like,
So you wouldn't recommend this movie if you are having to record a podcast in front of a live audience?
No, in fact, I wish I had come up with something better. I did say Transformers the movie over and over again, but you refused.
The animated movie?
Yeah.
I would have agreed to that.
Oh, shit. I wish that wasn't a joke. I wish I had really accepted that. By show of applause, who thinks your inner child is an idiot? Your inner child is not an idiot. Okay. Crowd verdict, your inner child is not an idiot. Damon wins!
Yay!
Thanks, everybody, for being here. Those of you at home or those of you here who want to make your opinions known, your inner child is an idiot @gmail.com. You can text us or leave us a voicemail, 615-576-0525. But thank you to our patrons, including the ones that are here. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We really appreciate it. Thanks for being here. We really appreciate it. Take some snacks with you. Drink. Hang out. We're going to hang out for a little bit. We'll be tearing down, but you can hang out until 11.
Can we get another hand for Caleb?
Another hand for the band. Thank you to Third Coast Comedy. Thanks to Mike up there for helping us with the movie.
Thank you.
Sean.
Thanks, y'all.